IPM News, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Monday, March 4th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how some local bookstore owners are adapting and thriving after the pandemic and the impact of Amazon. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Reproductive rights advocates and Illinois lawmakers say a recent ruling from Alabama's high court is an opportunity for the state to eliminate financial barriers for fertility treatments. Mawa Iqbal has more.
The Alabama Supreme Court ruled that a frozen embryo created through in vitro fertilization is considered a person, which has renewed attention to IVF procedures nationwide. Illinois laws already require insurance coverage for fertility treatments. But Diana Parker Kafka with the Abortion Fund Midwest Access Coalition says paying for it is still a struggle.
I just went through the process in Illinois, and despite how protected it is here, it's incredibly difficult.
Democratic lawmakers have introduced bills expanding the fertility diagnoses and treatments insurers would have to cover. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Western Illinois University is in the market for a new president. Rich Egger reports.
In an email to the campus community, Dr. Guiyu Huang says he has decided to step down as Western's president. His final day will be Sunday, March 31st. Huang says after much reflection, it was time to move on and be closer to his family. Huang has been in office for a little more than 3 years. The Board of Trustees will vote on his separation agreement during its next meeting on March 22nd. Dr. Christy Mindrup will serve as the university's interim president beginning Monday, April 1st, if approved by the board. She's currently vice president of operations for Western's Quad Cities campus. Mindrup would become the first woman to serve as Western's president on a permanent or interim basis. Rich Egger reporting.
Protesters gathered at Champaign's Westside Park on Saturday for a march against the war in Gaza. The march was organized by the Champaign-Urbana branch of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Illinois Student Newsroom's Anulika Ochuba has this report.
The park was packed. The march lasted over 2 hours, holding up traffic at certain points. Protesters' voices echoed through the streets. University of Illinois student Anna Valle says her identity as a Mexican-American pushes her to fight for the Palestinian cause.
As minorities as well, we kind of have history of like colonization. That's what they're going through right now. They're being colonized, they're being pushed out, and we've seen like history of this happening again, and we're just letting it repeat.
Speakers and protesters said they don't want any more tax dollars spent to fund Israel's attack on Gaza. I am Anulika Ochuba, Illinois Student Newsroom.
The Urbana City Council will vote tonight on a resolution calling for an end to the war in Gaza. The Fighting Illini women's basketball team won their final regular season game yesterday at home against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, 74-73. Illinois senior guard Makara Cook led the team with 20 points and 5 assists. The Illini finished the regular season with an overall record of 14-14 and an 8-10 Big Ten conference record. Illinois will play in the Big Ten tournament later this week in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Still to come, we'll learn more about how some local bookstore owners are adapting and thriving after the pandemic and the impact of Amazon. That story is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. After weathering the advent of Amazon and the closures of the pandemic, it may seem like it would be a difficult time for local bookstores. But the American Booksellers Association is actually reporting their highest membership in 20 years, with nearly 300 members added since 2019. Colin Schopp spoke with some local bookstore owners to get a read on how they're adapting and thriving.
After weathering the advent of Amazon and the closures of the pandemic, it may seem like it would be a difficult time for local bookstores, but the American Booksellers Association is reporting their highest membership in 20 years, with nearly 300 members added since 2019. I spoke with some local bookstore owners to get a read on how they're adapting and thriving. The soft ring of wind chimes announces the entrance of a customer at the book rack in Peoria's Oak Cliff Shopping Center. Stacy Harden says she kept the chimes as tradition from the original owner when she took over 7 years ago. She quickly learned the ins and outs of running a bookstore in operation since the 1970s.
I think a lot of people just think that you just get the books and you throw them on the shelves and that's it. You can sit down and read all day. And it's definitely not how that works.
Harden says she can get hundreds of trade-in books a day. Each book must be cleaned, priced, inventoried, sorted, and alphabetized among the store's aisles of shelves, nooks, and crannies. Across town, Book Nook General Manager Cheryl Langley sorts through a similarly labyrinthine collection of books. Langley started at the Book Nook 8 years ago. About 4 years ago, the store began posting their entire inventory on Amazon.
Which has helped make ends meet on certain days. And, you know, unfortunately, the online business is not going to go anywhere, so we might as well just take a piece of that as well.
The book rack has also innovated in some ways over the years. Harden says she's expanded their selection of bookish merchandise, things like branded clothing, coasters, bookmarks, journals, collectibles, and more.
There are people that come in here that are not readers, but they love pop culture. They love movies that are made from books. So they come in and buy just that merchandise.
Harden estimates merchandise can make up as much as 40% of the store's sales. Harden also began branching out into new books recently. She says the popularity of BookTok, an online ecosystem of influencers making book recommendations on TikTok, makes some orders a very safe bet.
BookTok has made a huge difference in how many books we sell here at the store and how many books that we sell new. So I will get on there and see what all the hype is about, and then I will order those, and then I'll post it on social media, and then usually I've sold out of those within just a couple days.
Both stores also zero in their focus on something that's difficult or impossible for large online retailers to offer, a relationship with their customers. Langley makes a point to talk to the regulars who not only purchase books, but trade back in the books that make up the Book Nook's inventory.
We strike up conversations. How are you today? You know, how's your wife? How's your husband? You know, how are the kids? You know, and you just don't get that at big places. You're just a customer and you don't really matter, but they do. Here they're part of the family as well, and I couldn't be here without them.
This approach creates customers like Richard Hens, who has been a regular patron of the Book Nook since before Langley was manager and its expansion to 3 storefronts. He appreciates the variety that the store offers.
I like to read Clive Cussler books. I like to read Tom Clancy books. But then I also, as a biology teacher and a former biology teacher, and I like history and stuff like that, so they have a good selection of nonfiction as well.
Hens says the Book Nook is even a destination when family visits from out of state. The book rack has its own set of dedicated customers as well. Meredith Bonetta is a Peoria teacher. She's frequently at the book rack to find books for her classroom and some young adult favorites for herself.
I think it's super important for kids to see that it's locally owned. It's not some faraway thing that books and reading can be. It's local, it's close, it's feasible for everyone to come here. We're on Knoxville. Everything is super close.
Then there's something more intangible that's special about a locally owned bookstore. Harden calls it a magical environment, created through decorations for genre areas like horror, mystery, and children's books. For Langley, it's the sense of discovery a used bookstore creates.
When you come to a used bookstore, you just walk around and see what jumps out at you that particular day, because the inventory is always changing. You never know what you're going to find.
And who knows? You might just find your new favorite read.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly cloudy and breezy with a high of 75 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today, contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Rich Egger, Analika Ochuba, Colin Highslope, and Colin Schopp. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.